Previously on Two Jews and a Gay.
Would being gay make him a bad guy?
This is Greg, the voice of the voiceless.
It's like, it sounded like he had a mop in his mouth or something. It was just all like muffled and like blah, blah, blah.
Great news! If you search for Jeremy Katz gay, our blog is the first thing that comes up.
No!
I've been outed!
We're excited to have Sumi. She'll be joining us for the first time.
We ended up doing it, and I ended up screaming out, and he had to take me to the ER.
Big Penis Story Award of the Year.
Doctor was like, well, at least you're ready for childbirth. Birth.
We're getting ready to start the podcast. We're almost ready to start.
Jews and a Gay podcast.
Yay!
Featuring Brian Martinson, Jeremy Katz, and Spencer Yasmin.
Two Jews and one gay.
Of New Jersey back on TV.
Amen, brother. Amen. And of course, Spencer Yasmin.
I might just lose my mind if I hear one more person tell me the housing market is hot right now and I have to buy.
But Spencer, it's hot.
Well, ah! I mean, Spencer, where are you going to raise your 2.5 kids?
In a nice little condo. Me, Spencer, Nina, Spencer Jr.
Are you looking for a house?
I'm not. And I'm damn proud of it that I'm not. People that know nothing about the market, all they ever say is, it's hot. You got to buy. It's hot.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
No one knows.
No one knows. And we never will.
It has been a few weeks since we've been together. Lots been going on. Jeremy, you've been dating or went on a few dates with a stand-up comedian, correct?
I did. Did not think you'd bring that up, though.
Well, the reason I bring this up is because I think this is a natural conversation starter. What happens when you're not as funny as you think you are and you're dating someone who makes her life telling jokes?
When I'm not as funny, or when she's not as funny?
Well, no, when you're not as funny. I mean, is there a lot of sense of competition?
Well, you know,
you have to try to out-joke her?
I like to consider myself a funny person, and, you know, come on, Spencer, come on.
You got a great laugh. Nothing more, nothing less.
There has been times, though, when, like, you know, someone who's made their profession revolved around stand-up comedy, there is times where out on the date, I'm kind of doing my typical shtick, which you guys have all heard, and
we've heard it.
In the back of my mind, I'm kind of like, you know, it's like I feel almost a little uncomfortable doing my jokey self and you know, telling these jokey stories because of the fact that someone, you know, I am with someone who, you know, is considered a comedian. So there is that little bit of pressure that when I do tell her a joke that I really got to connect.
All right, Jeremy, on the flip side, what happens when you go to see her perform and she's not funny? You lose that sexual intensity you once saw for her?
Well, there was I actually did see her perform recently. You know, been out a couple times. I went to go see her perform, and I was completely fucking nervous. Like, I've seen my friends. I've seen, you know, Nick West perform a lot. I've seen my brother do some stuff. I was so fucking nervous for her, and I don't know why. I almost felt, like, so uncomfortable because I was like, you know, this is like, you know, someone's saying they're funny, and I'm going to find out if they are funny or not. So there definitely was that nerves.
Was she funny?
She was very funny. I'm happy to say that. She's very, you know, her shtick is very raunchy and dirty. So
now, are you in the stage in the relationship where you would feel uncomfortable that you might be included in the act?
No, and I don't know what it is. So like, we haven't gotten to that point yet where that would happen, but I don't know what it is. Maybe it's my ego, but like, I kind of want to be included in the act, right? Like
what if she says,
like, a little, even if it's kind of like insulting, I would feel like a little bit like, I don't know, complimentary that I made the act.
I am a jackass. All right.
But what if the comments are, you know, really negative? Like, you know, you guys have sex for the first mm-hmm. time, and like the very next week, she's on stage talking about, I've been dating this loser who could barely get it up, and like, and you're in the audience, and you're like, ugh, Jesus. Like, do you have any concerns about that? When you're like thinking about the next stages of the relationship, are you at all self-conscious about what you're doing and how it may appear mm-hmm. later to her, like in an actor or anything like
that? Before you answer that, I just gotta say that is a great way for a comedian to break up with someone. You have them attend the show, and then you just heckle the shit out of them, and then what are you gonna do? Get up and say, yeah, I am the guy with that small dick, or I can only last 5 seconds. You're screwed. Exactly. You just gotta wait till the very end of the show and get out of there.
Wait. She's dating Dan?
Oh. Look, we got a couple comedians right now. It's great. You know, I've actually never thought about that, Brian, but now that you bring that up, that is actually terrifying, and I obviously can't see this girl anymore.
Well, I hate to stifle true love, but, you know, I'm concerned about you. I don't want anyone but me or Spencer getting jokes off of you.
Well said.
So, this episode, we had to kind of scramble together a little mm-hmm. bit because we had a big interview planned.
Huge.
We
were very huge.
Huge.
Girthy.
And this, yes, very girthy. This person has been a part of this podcast pretty much since its inception. Mm-hmm. He's one of our biggest fans. We were very excited
allegedly.
To have him on. Allegedly one of our biggest fans. We were very excited to have him on. And more importantly, the things we were going to talk about were things that were totally like in his wheelhouse mm-hmm. and not going to be like, you know, the Sumi and Claire and other conversations, which tended to be a little bluer. We were going a very pure route. Unfortunately, Mr. December has decided that for whatever reason, for protection of his image, or, you know, such as it is, that he's not going to be able to appear on the show. So this is going to be one of an episode without an interview. Thank you, Mr. December. We really appreciate you giving it your all for us. But, you know, we're a good group here. We'll persevere. We'll carry on. But I just want to let the audience know that we have a chicken shit amongst us listening. So.
And I will not be having that happy hour with you anymore, Mr. December.
Oh, yes, you will.
I know I will. God, what am I saying? Jeez.
And again, you guys look a lot alike, you and Mr. December, Spencer.
Brian, I'm flattered. I'm really flattered, Brian.
Seen Spencer
I
naked,
get it.
But once again, I'm going to guess that Mr. December's has a much better base coat in terms of his pigment. And, you know, I think he's packing a lot more downstairs than you are. I'm just telling it like it is.
I'm flattered, Brian. I'm flattered that you chose to date someone that looks like me. I really am.
No. We didn't date. We just had sex.
Oh. Even more flattering.
Even more flattering.
Just a hunk of meat.
All right. So it has been a while since we got together. And I'm very curious to hear what's been going on with the wedding plans. Jeremy has been like on pins and needles. So, Spencer, where are we right now with the big extravaganza? You're at less than a year now. You know,
can we get a countdown? Look, I'm really – my parents were in town last week.
Oh,
and
God.
I love them to death, but they stress
– by the way, I just want to say every introduction to anyone's parents always starts with the I love them to
always,
death.
Always,
but.
Yeah.
Not these parents.
But with that said,
that's actually a first for me to say I love them to death.
Usually that is true.
Usually I go on a rant, and then at the very end I go, "Oh, I love you guys." By the way.
Well, Spencer, I'm interested to hear what you have to say next because I've noticed, and Brian, I'm curious to see if you've noticed, you sound a little bit more beaten. You sound a little bit more tired than you did a few weeks ago.
I'm defeated. I
oh,
really.
No.
I can barely get myself up in the morning. I don't shave anymore. What do you want me to say? I'm a hunk of meat, according to Brian, but I'm a hunk of meat a mess at this point. They came in town.
There's some gristle on that. There is.
And Brian, how much longer to the wedding?
Well, it's like 11 months, you know, 10 days.
Oh, man, I just lost another patch of hair.
Oh, God.
So they came in town to look for rehearsal dinners for this massive wedding of counted. Right now, we're Corey and I were actually cutting some people off the list. Sorry to some of you listeners out there, perhaps. It might be you. But we were able to cut some more down. Corey goes, good news. We're down to about 285 now for rehearsal dinner.
Oh, I thought you said that's
insane.
And I told my parents all along it's not going to be any more than 250. So a couple more listeners, stay tuned because you may be next.
Spencer, have you ever been to a rehearsal this big? Because I know Brian and I haven't. Have you ever been to a rehearsal nearly this big? Because Brian and I have been, you know, maybe 100 people, maybe max, and that's a ton.
Well, and here's the thing. Like, there's a difference between, you know, the rehearsal dinner is kind of, it's really not the big show.
It's out-of-towners and family.
It's designed as kind of like the one last night to kind of relax and have fun with your friends before, like, all the drama of the actual wedding day happens.
It's supposed to be casual. That's the key word.
It's supposed to be very casual.
Very casual. And that's what I told my parents. I said, look, I appreciate you guys going out of your way to offer to pay for this, but because there's so
many – Well, that's what they're supposed to do, by the way. Like, that's the it's the groom's dinner. Call it the groom's dinner for a reason.
Yeah, but, okay. But Brian, that's –
When my son gets married, we'll see how nice I am. Okay, look, the point is
– Oh, you're having all girls, by the way.
Oh, you haven't seen the Yasmin family, okay?
It's going to be some slutty girls.
Oh, man. Slutty and hairy. So I told my parents I appreciate everything, but we want to make this as casual as possible, especially for that many people. I don't want them to have to spend a lot of money. They said, yeah, of course. I call up I schedule five different restaurants for them to when they come in town to go and meet. The fifth one I just threw in as like to cover for 2 hours for them. Mm-hmm. Little did I know that this is the one they would end up loving the most, and I'm just sick that they love this one out of all of them. It's this restaurant called Park Tavern. Okay. Right now, we just lost Park Tavern as a sponsor. That's okay. They're a sports bar, but like an upper-scale sports bar. They are charging a ridiculous amount per person, and this is inclusive of drinks and food. And then I find, you know, they told me on the phone it would be less than this, but then, of course, when they saw my parents come in for the meeting, they're like, sucker alert, and they just jacked up the price. And so my parents come home and give me the report about how they love this restaurant, and they tell me, you know, it's going to be this X number of dollars, but the good news is they're going to throw in a third appetizer. They're going to throw in a salad. They're going to throw in a second dessert. And I go, "What, Mom, Dad, this is supposed to be casual." They tell me they plan on having it being a four-course plated meal for a rehearsal dinner.
It's like a six-hour dinner.
Okay, I want to point this out. A lot of groom's dinners are served buffet style.
Exactly. Like exactly. And I said that to them, and they go, "We like to do." Now, Jeremy, you know Cheryl very well. She goes, "We like to do plated dinners. This family does plated dinners." I'm like, "All right, fine."
She has her
ways. We don't need a four course meal, though. No, you're gonna spoil people's appetite for the next day when the wedding food comes around. And you know, I'm getting the sense after talking to them back and forth, I think they're out to compete against the wedding. I think it's wedding one and wedding two. They will never come out and say that, but I get the vibe that they don't want people to think that they're putting together a cheapy dinner because they don't like Mexican food. That's a big thing to bring up. We want to do Texas-themed, but they don't like Mexican food. I found a Southwestern restaurant that is well-known for catering and posting big events. They went there, and my mom's like, what is this fajita? I'm like, Mom, it's just steak. Come on. Like, steak and vegetables. It's actually things you like. You just have to get away from the Spanish-speaking terms, and you'll be okay. So right now, it's a competition between those two restaurants. The one thing I have going for me is that this Park Tavern sister company restaurant just went out of business after 6 months. So that's my pitch to my parents, is that this restaurant will not make it a year from now because there's two things. I don't want this four-course meal, and I don't want my parents spending that much money. So if anybody has any ideas about how I get my parents to think otherwise, please lend a suggestion.
Well, and Spencer, that's why they're going to stay in business because they have this fucking massive event.
Exactly.
They've got to make it through the next 11 months, and then business is great. So.
But, and Jeremy, do you realize this whole thing about – like, Brian, you probably realize this too. Like, this restaurant is taking advantage of my parents, and this is what drives me crazy is they gave my parents a ridiculous number – but they go, but we'll throw all this stuff in. And my parents were talking it up. Like, Todd was in town that week too, and Todd and I were doing role play back and forth where we acted like Cheryl or Ron, and I'm the manager of the restaurant. Like, I'm like, so I'm gonna give you this to you, but how about I throw in? But you know what? Because you're really pulling my arm, I'm gonna give you this also. And my parents are just like, fantastic, we're getting a deal here. I mean, they are paying almost the cost of what a wedding price package is per person. I need to stop them.
Yeah, wow. I mean, well, first of all, you need to put your foot down. You're the groom.
You are the groom.
That's what Jay Lanta said. He actually said that I should just pick the restaurant and tell them this is what you're paying for.
No,
and
Spencer, do you think your parents are almost doing this out of spite? Not to spite you, but out of spite for the circumstance, because they're not happy that it's this massive of an event, that they're almost picking something that they think no one else is going to like? I mean,
no, it's not that. I think that they've come...
Well, first of all, will we like the food?
Well, oh, that's another good thing. So the day they leave, and then Jeremy, I'll answer your question. Well, yeah. Let me first by saying, Jeremy, that's not actually not the case. I think their problem is they feel like because they're entertaining so many guests that they're going to be on the spotlight, and they overthink things. They think people are going to be talking about it for years to come. I can't believe they went to that Tex-Mex restaurant rather than that unbelievable park tap. You know, they think it's up to them. It's their responsibility to throw the greatest rehearsal dinner of all time, something that people would probably never speak about again. I gave them an option of a brewery, and they looked at it and were like,
"That sounds great. That'd be a great
brewery
time.
Is a great idea." And they would have barbecue, but they don't need barbecue.
You need a relaxing night. So your parents need to realize that you guys are gonna be so stressed out that entire weekend, and it sounds like Saturday is gonna be a fucking massive event at the wedding day.
Sunday.
You guys need a relaxing night, and
I agree.
It sounds like this place ain't gonna have that.
Well, I agree, and to follow up, it is a very nice venue, but a lot of things triggered to answer Brian's question. I went there with Todd and the soon-to-be Mrs. Yasmin, or Mrs. probably Mrs. Feldman, Mr. Yasmin, but that's okay. Mr. Feldman. So we went there to check out the food, and I was very disappointed. It was very bland. They have tacos, for instance. So I told my parents, I'm like, okay, you know, before I went there, I'm like, they're picking out – they want to send a card out with the invitation that says you have the option of choosing lamb, chicken, or a fish. I'm like, that's what people do at the wedding, not the rehearsal dinner. So then I go, let me look at the menu. I look at the menu and I see there's turkey burgers, there's breakfast tacos, tuna tacos. I'm like, let's get rid of this lamb and all this shit and let's do tacos, stuff like that makes it more casual. And my parents are like, tacos, are you kidding me? And then Todd found out later that day that my parents thought tacos were like your old-fashioned Taco Bell tacos, like the hard, crispy ones with the ground shredded beef in it. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't really understand that there's, like, gourmet tacos people
make now.
It's not
Taco Tuesday. Yeah, exactly.
It's not Taco – exactly. So, anyway, I try out the tacos. Mm-hmm. They're completely bland. Todd has a turkey burger that's supposed to have all these spices on it. Non-existent. Oh, the only thing that was good was Corey's tuna tacos. But, of course – Mom and Dad do not like the tuna tacos. They don't like the concept of tacos at their thing. So that's a big concern for me is the foods, I was not impressed. All they kept telling me was, wait till you try the dessert. Like, I got on the phone with my mom while she was at the airport, and I said, Mom, I haven't been very happy so far. She's like, wait till you try the dessert. It's unbelievable.
Oh, God.
They bring out this dessert soaked in butter. Soaked in butter.
Well, it's winning me over already.
Okay.
But continue.
I will be fair. I will be honest. I had 5 bites of it, and it was really good, but that is all I could eat of it. It is – and I am – Jeremy, you know this. I am a dessert guru.
You got a sweet tooth.
I could not eat more than 5 bites of this thing because I thought I was going to get – go into cardiac arrest because it was too sweet.
Oh, God.
And the bottom line is, who is going to eat dessert after having 3 courses of appetizers, salads, and a plated lamb or salmon meal?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it seems like they're really on the wrong track.
Right.
They need to rethink the whole concept of the groom's dinner. The concept of the groom's dinner, in my mind, it should be buffet-style service. It should be an open bar. Everyone loves an open bar.
They will have open bar. That's a big thing of theirs, and I appreciate that.
But it should be a very casual setting where, like, you're essentially, like, there's no assigned seating. You don't have to worry about making sure you choose the chicken or the beef or the fish. Like, I don't get that. Are you going to have to include a second postcard in the invitation for the groom's dinner, so you check which one you want for that.
That's exactly no. That's exactly it. They're gonna have a card that goes out for the rehearsal dinner separately. It's a separate wedding, and they're gonna say, "What do you want to have?"
That's not that odd, because my mom, for Eric and Linda's wedding, she sent out a card to, you know, the family and out-of-towners. Keep in mind, it was probably like 40 people. But I don't think that's so odd to send out, you know, a separate invitation, because, you know, it is an event they're putting on.
I'm not talking – the separate invitation is perfectly fine.
The invitation is normal. You definitely send a separate one out for rehearsal. I'm talking about the checklist. Check what food you want at a rehearsal dinner.
Oh, got it. Yeah,
crazy.
That's odd. That's odd. Yeah, for sure. Well, Spencer, here's the big question that we all want to know. How does Corey feel about this?
I'm happy to say, since my mom and dad do not listen to the podcast, that she agrees with me. She is she's not happy, and I mean, you know, my parents said, "Look, Spencer, we're gonna wait to find out what you're gonna serve at your wedding, so we don't serve the same thing." But I told my mom, I'm like, "Look, if we have short rib and scallop as a duo, lamb and salmon, that's close enough to the same concept. It's too much of the same thing." Corey really thinks
they should make paella.
Sure.
Everyone loves paella.
What about a quiche?
You can make a big vat of it.
How about my last paella was at La Madeleine. I was not very happy. But anyway, the point is, Corey and I both agree, it needs to be casual. It needs to be buffet style. I mean, I don't know, this plated crap nonsense. And here's the last thing I'll say about this restaurant. I don't think it'll be in business a year from now, and I do not like the waiters that work there. They've been open for 2 months. We had a waiter that was probably 25 years old. He comes up to us about 10 minutes in, and he goes, as we're eating, "Do you guys want to order another drink right now? Because I'm going to be outside working with some customers out there, so you're not going to see me for a while." Like, who says that?
Yeah,
like, I can just tell the vibe of this. It's a douchey bar, and we're going to have horrible customer service. My parents are going to blow a lid that night. My dad, by that point, will be 72 probably. Can't keep track of that age anymore. It's just a mess.
As we wrap this discussion up, Brian, I got to ask you, how does Spencer fix this?
Spencer fixes this by growing a pair of balls.
You haven't met his parents.
Ultimately, this is the thing, Spencer. It's your wedding. It's your groom's dinner. You need to be more forceful with what you expect.
Yeah.
And if that means that you have to actually plan the groom's dinner and just tell them, send the invoices to Mom, Pa, Yasmin, then that's what you do. But if you have to take it out of their hands, take it out of their hands. It's ridiculous that, in addition to all the stress that you're being put under in planning the wedding, that you now have to deal with the stress of planning the groom's dinner, which really shouldn't be that stressful. It should be pretty straightforward and pretty simple.
Preach it.
And you know, I'll say the last thing about this. The last meeting that I had scheduled for them was for the aquarium. And we got a quote prior to them going, and it was a little high, but there was things I pointed out that we could probably get off and negotiate with them. There was just things that they reached for. And then my parents decided, after going to this restaurant, we don't need to go to the aquarium anymore. Even though we all agreed like the aquarium would be the coolest experience-wise, and it was worth checking out, they canceled the meeting. And now what the projected bill of this is probably within $2,000 what the outrageous first bid of the aquarium was. So,
well, why don't you do this? Why don't you go to the aquarium, try to negotiate those things that you think you could get them off, and say, "Hey, Mom, Dad, I think we should go with the aquarium. I already have the cost very much in line with what we're looking at this venue that I think is going to suck, and this is what I, as the person getting married, really wants to do."
I agree, and I will be taking over this operation. So, Mom, if you're listening at this point, game on.
She's gonna win.
This is Craig, the voice of the voiceless. Brian, you wish you had a voice as good as mine.
Seriously, what the fuck was that? Was that the voice, the voice, the voiceless?
Brian, I thought he had a low voice from last episode.
Spencer, were you stomping on his balls? I mean,
he is taking over this podcast. I don't even know how he sound guy.
Derek, I'm the sound guy.
Oh, you're the sound guy.
Shut up.
Where's our producer,
EP.
Derek?
Yeah. We'll talk to Derek later about it. It's weird.
Was he sucking on some helium while having a blender shoved up his ass? I mean, what was going on there?
Ryan, in a serious note, though, what is your rebuttal? I mean, it seems like he's starting to call you out now. That's two invasions in a row.
he does these little drive-by voice blurbs that sound like ass. He still doesn't have the balls to actually come on here for an interview. So until he does that, he can keep doing these little 15-second segments all he likes. It doesn't change the fact that he's still a chicken shit.
Oof. Harsh words.
I will be talking to the Voice of the Voiceless about your remarks, and he will be listening to this, so I look forward to the rebuttal. Hopefully he will come on live, though.
He needs to, or else, what's the point? It irritates me, it upsets me. Seriously, Spencer, go fuck yourself. My voice sounded like shit. Never before have I been so irritated with two people. Don't screw me like that. What's up with your fucking friend about my voice? Would you all shut the fuck up? I don't care. You guys made your bed. Don't let it happen again. Or else you might be part of the weekly rant.
I gotta watch the Milwaukee Bucks play for the next 2 weeks.
Finally, the middle of June, and we're still playing these goddamn NBA playoff games. I mean, I think the season ended, what, in February, it seems? This playoff season is way too long. It's, you know, 2.5 months worth of games that are just too much breaks in between. It's ridiculous. Come on, NBA. Come on, David Stern. Last thing you should do before you leave is let's fix this playoff system. Let's have this end reasonably, like, maybe early June, late May. Get it done.
I'll take the combo number 43 and upgrade the tacos for french fries.
So what is the deal with fucking Jack in the Box? I go to the drive-thru and it's like I'm looking at this behemoth menu of everything from waffle fries to waffle sticks to waffle cones. I mean, it's way too much. Everything is there. You could do breakfast, you could do lunch, you could do dinner. If I was in the mood for a pancake wrapped in a taco stuffed inside a hamburger, I'd be set at Jack in the Box. But I don't. I want something simple. Give me a burger. Give me a fries. Come on, Jack in the Box. Let's cut the crap. Let's cut the listings. Let's bring it down to the normal size.
Thank you, Harvey Milk, for all that you did. Now, fellas, let's move forward.
So it's the month of June. June is Gay Pride Month. A lot of big cities with gay population have a lot of gay festivals going on. And it just irritates me how, when on the one hand we're trying to strive for equality, try to pass things like gay marriage, and we're doing that in all very noble causes. On the other hand, we're a bunch of fucking sluts who just dress up in the worst kind of cliched attire. We get all lispy. We sashay our asses. We wear buttless chaps. I mean, come on. You can't have it both ways. If you want equality, if you want to be considered part of this society, you gotta drop the charade and drop the affectation and just be real. And that crap that you're doing, flaunting your sexuality like that, is not something that we should be striving for as a population. Let's get it together.
Brian, I gotta be honest. I'm really surprised to hear that from you.
Well, it's one of these things that back in the day, you know, back in the 70s and 80s when the gay pride festivals kind of started up, there was a legitimate case that you could make that we were considered a subculture of the rest of society, and you needed to do things to raise our profile with the rest of America.
Yes.
But that's not the case anymore. We're striving for equality, and it would be like having black people have a, you know, collard green and fried chicken festival.
Whoa,
or Asians having a rice and can't drive festival.
Oh,
I mean, like,
Jesus Christ.
It's no, the problem is that gay pride festivals embrace the worst stereotypes that other people in society have about us. And I don't understand why we would want to do that. Why we want to subject ourselves to that anymore when we're not the same situation in the same place that we were back in the 70s and the 80s. We've made so much progress, and I think it's time for us to have a more mature reflection about where we are in this country, and we can really get rid of a lot of the aspects of the gay pride festivals that I really find distasteful.
Well, do you think it's maybe because, I mean, you know, you're still a minority group and you have to overcome a lot of discrimination? I mean, I think this – I mean, you tell me, because – you've been to more of these than I have, but is it a way of rallying the troops together, you know, that we still will persevere almost?
No, I mean, in its highest form, I suppose. You know, the Gay Pride Parade is about a lot of, you know, some worthy causes featuring at-risk youth and things of that nature that are gay, and I applaud those kinds of efforts. Mm-hmm. But the vast majority of the Gay Pride weekend is a bunch of single or in, you know, guys in relationships hooking up at bars and getting drunk and doing drugs, and it's just not a it's not a positive view of homosexuality, in my opinion, and I think it's distasteful.
So my biggest problem with Gay Pride Week in Dallas is
You're not invited?
Well, I'm not invited. But it also, it's held right by Corey's apartment, and I can never get a parking spot to Corey's place. And now that I'm living here, I'm in the process of moving in here, this is going to be a severe problem once a week, once out of the year. So, Mr. December, if you could help me with this, I'd appreciate it. Allow one spot.
And now, a Two Jews and a Gay original production from The Vault. Each week, one movie previewed, its lead actor analyzed with heavy action and groundbreaking drama, out of this world science fiction, hilarious comedy, and spicy romance. Now, sit back, relax, and grab some popcorn for installment 4.0. World War Z, starring the dashing and stunning and well-conditioned Brad Pitt's hair, and co-starring the actor Brad Pitt.
The next big summer blockbuster to be released is Brad Pitt's World War Z, hopping on the zombie train, it seems. Jeremy, what are your thoughts? Are you looking forward to seeing this movie?
You know, originally, and even when the first couple previews I saw, I wasn't. I thought, you know, it looked like bad CGI. We've seen zombie things over and over again. But, you know, I saw Star Trek not too long ago, and I saw, like, the final trailer they released for World War Z. And I'll be honest with you, I kind of left watching that trailer thinking, I kind of want to see this. And I'll be honest, even more, I think I'm going to see it. I think, you know, I like Brad Pitt, and I think it's telling an interesting story about, you know, him traveling the world, kind of combating the zombies. But I think the marketing has been interesting in the point that they haven't really shown the zombies. They're not really focusing too much on the blood and the goriness that usually associated with zombie films. So I think they're, while there's, you know, it's so hard to find something fresh with zombies, I think there might be something fresh here. And, you know, it's also based on a book, which, you know, a lot of people, they're not really marketing, but it's based on a best-selling book that I've heard is good. Whether or not it's loyal or not, you know, remains to be seen. But I don't know. Spencer, for me, I think I'm going to see it.
Yeah, I kind of share the same thoughts as you. This movie has grown on me from the previews. I mean, when I first saw the preview and when I first heard about it, I heard all the pre-production problems they were having, how they were going over budget. I was like, this is just a disaster waiting to happen. And then the first preview came out, and I was like, this kind of looks like what the prequel for I Am Legend would be. And I was like, and I hated I Am Legend, but for
horrible
some reason,
CGI.
Because of the CGI and really just Will Smith standing talking to a dog for 2 hours, I just couldn't stand it after a while. But for some reason, like, I really see this as the prequel to what I Am Legend would become. And for some reason, this actually looks cool because they haven't shown really much of the zombies. They just show something bad is happening, and then almost like the zombies is in the background. Like, we, as the audience, suspect that they're running from the zombies, but they don't really talk about it in the previews. It's just talking about, you have the army soldiers talking to Brad Pitt about, you know, civilization's not going to make it. It's, I don't know, it's got a very interesting feel to it. It's got a lot of, like, basically everyone's on the run, kind of, what is it, 28 days later type feel to it almost.
Yeah.
It, you know, but now it has a more mainstream actor to lead the charge. And I agree. I've always been a big Brad Pitt fan. He's made solid movies. But I'm looking forward to it. I think I will see this movie.
Yeah, I can't say that it's going to be a must-watch for me. I think there are other movies that have been released already that I'm looking forward to seeing more. This Is the End is an example. So if I'm at the multiplex this weekend and I'm looking at World War Z versus This Is the End, I'll probably lean towards This Is the End. But yeah, it may be a movie that if I hear good word of mouth, I'll consider seeing. I've not been one who's been really big on the whole zombie thing in general, although the one exception to that was the that Warm Bodies movie.
The romantic comedy.
the romantic comedy, which I actually really did enjoy.
Did you see Shaun of the Dead?
I did not see Shaun of the Dead.
It's a classic.
Well, I mean, yeah, but be that as it may, I'm the recent, you know, big zombie push, kind of how, you know, how they've pushed vampires to the side and not everyone's all about the zombies. I've not really been a big, ooh, got to see the zombie TV show, movie, etc. So that's one of the reasons why this isn't really holding a lot of draw for me.
And as Spencer mentioned, you know, a little bit ago, this movie, since, you know, production of day one, has had, you know, rumors that, you know, there's been fights on set, delays, script changes last minute. So most people know of World War Z through those rumors and those headlines of how big of a disaster the production is. So, you know, World War Z is one of these movies that, you know, it's up against the wall because, you know, reportedly it costs like over $200 million, which is insane.
Woo-hoo!
So
I will guarantee you it is not going to make that money.
Exactly.
Back.
And I think one issue...
You don't think internationally it will?
Internationally,
well international do fine, but I'm talking like domestic. There's almost zero chance that it's going to hit $200 million.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. But I think one issue they ran into is apparently when they made the film, they were looking at it as being this next big trilogy. You know, at the time, zombies were really hot. So you got Brad Pitt. And I think the problem with that, though, is you got to make just a good movie. You know, you can't leave it open-ended for a trilogy because you don't know if there's going to be enough money made to, you know, warrant a trilogy. So, and that's why I read somewhere that apparently they had a writer come in and rewrite the ending because the ending just wasn't working for the film. So it'll be interesting to see how it is since there has been such bad buzz with it.
Fighting
I'm looking
on the
forward
set?
To seeing it. What's up?
Who's fighting on the set?
Apparently like the director didn't have command of the movie, and the studio and the director were butting heads because his budget was just insane. I mean,
Brad Pitt will not tolerate that.
No, he will not.
Speaking of Brad Pitt, let's actually segue over to his career in general and see where we think it's been and where it's heading. Spencer, what's your favorite Brad Pitt movie of all time?
That's tough. There's a couple. I don't know if I can say one particularly. I really, really loved Fight Club. Big fan of Seven, 12, and 12 Monkeys. Those are probably my three favorite.
Great movies, yeah.
I think 12 Monkeys never gets it to do, but like I saw Looper last year, and I was actually disappointed in Looper because I thought it was like it had the same kind of idea as 12 Monkeys, but it made me respect 12 Monkeys so much more for a great time travel movie. So anyway, Brad Pitt was great in that movie. So
you know, for me, it's going with Fight Club because you know Fight Club is one of those movies that it was a great movie, and B, you left that movie thinking, holy fucking hell, Brad Pitt is the coolest guy out there. I want to talk like him. I want to dress like him. I want my name to be Tyler Durden. I mean, watching that movie, you almost, you know,
is that where Tyler Yashin came from?
That is where Tyler Yashin.
Okay, good.
From, yes, but you know, a movie of his recently that he's done that I love and I thought he was great in was Inglourious Basterds. I mean, he is such a character in that film, and you know, he's got that great accent, he's got that great look with the chin popping out. You know, I think that's a great example of a movie where you know he can play all these great characters and just really, you know, you believe that character. You believe in Snatch that he is this, you know, underground guy with this thick British accent. You know, in Inglourious Basterds, you believe that he is this redneck, hard, you know, Nazi killing dude. So, you know, he's a great actor, Brian. I mean, you can't deny that.
Oh, I'm not denying that at all. For me, the movie that I really loved him in, because you felt chemistry legitimately so, because obviously what happened after, is Mr. and Mrs. Smith. I mean, that movie. I love that. I love Mr. and Mrs. Smith. I thought that was
goodness, no.
Spencer. They had great chemistry, Spencer. I mean, like, you knew they were
great chemistry
on set
in
that movie.
You think that was a good movie, though?
I thought that was a good movie. I thought that was.
Oh my goodness!
Why is that not a good movie? It was entertaining.
It was just that. It was like an inside joke between them saying we're sleeping together, and thank you for spending all this money to watch us. Like, there was no story. It just was like it just went on and on with them having this attraction, which we all knew was going on in real life. It was really just a movie about themselves.
That
was the worst example.
Consistently entertaining.
That's your favorite Brad Pitt movie, though?
Of recently? Absolutely.
Jeremy, I'm leaving the set. First ever on the podcast. I'm leaving the set.
Ha! Well, I'm surprised. I'm surprised. No love for Interview with a Vampire.
Eh,
that was a good movie.
That was a good movie. He was good in it.
You know what else was good? He was good in Troy. Troy was a good movie.
It was good.
Oh, really? I get harassed for Mr. and Mrs. Smith, and you bring up Troy.
Well, Brian, let me ask you this. If you could have sex with any movie that Brad Pitt, or like his look from any movie, what movie would you pick?
That's tough. Well, just because he was so much younger, you have to go with Thelma and Louise.
Ooh, one of his first. All right. And Spencer?
Clearly not Mr. and Mrs.
It would have to be Meet Joe Black. His hair was extra blonde in that movie, so.
And Jeremy, which version of Brad Pitt would you sleep with?
I mean, come on, Fight Club. Hands down.
He would destroy you.
Oh my god.
So if you went gay, Jeremy, you're saying that you go for like the super toned 0% body fat kind of guy.
He's just so cool in that movie.
Jeremy, what has been your biggest disappointment of Brad Pitt in the past 5-10 years? Like, what's a movie you were looking forward to with him in it? And don't say Ocean's 13, okay? What's a movie that you were looking forward to and it just, like, didn't deliver?
Well, I'm not going to blame him because he was good in it. I don't think he was great. Moneyball. You know, I thought Moneyball had so much potential being this great film. And it was entertaining, yes, but, like, you know, I was surprised Jonah Hill got nominated for an Oscar. I was surprised he got nominated, I think, for Best Picture, or was in contention for Best Picture. Like, it was good, but you kind of left that film thinking that was it.
Well, I agree with you on one thing, that I was disappointed in that movie, but I disagree with you that it was good. It was not good at all, actually. It was very boring, and it didn't really even touch on, like, the statistics side of what I was looking forward to seeing, learning about. I mean, it was just like, it was just flat. It's just where the team just gets really good, and we know the backstory that they came up with all the statistics to look into, but they never really explained it in the movie. I actually liked Little Big League 10 times better than that movie. Book it.
For me, it's Burn After Reading. I had a lot of hope for that. You know, Coen Brothers movie.
Terrible.
You think it's going to be quirky. It's going to be fun. He was awful in it. Everyone was awful in it. It was just not good.
It seems like when he pairs up with all his buddies, that's when things go bad. I mean, Ocean's 11 is the only exception because it was like their first time getting together. But anytime he's just having a good old time or having sex with Angelina Jolie on the set of the movie, that's when the movies go bad for him. He loses his acting credibility.
Well, he doesn't have to act. Those orgasms were 100% real on Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Gotcha. I can't believe that's your favorite movie of his.
Recently, yes. It absolutely. Of what he's done. Of
Jeremy,
what
I'm walking
off
the set again.
Done.
I'm out. Derek,
we'll see you
cue
next
my
week.
Music. I'm out.
I mean, I honestly haven't seen a lot of. Like, I didn't see Inglourious Basterds, so I can't speak to that. What am I supposed to say, Megamind? We seem to have lost Spencer, so let's go to a promo and see if we can't get him back.
Hey, this is Sumi.
Sumi? Sumi!
No, Spencer, it's Sumi, and you're listening to Two Jews and a Gay.
And we're back, and no episode of Two Jews and a Gay can be complete without a little Dirty Talk Hollywood, so Jeremy, take it away.
First headline. Now, every year, Maxim releases their Hot 100 list, and this year's may be the most controversial. Their number one pick goes to Miley Cyrus. That is not the sound of an erection, people.
So here's a question, guys. If your choice was that you had to sleep with Miley Cyrus or
Billy Ray.
Or Billy Ray Cyrus, who would you choose?
Billy Ray, no doubt. He has more hair.
He's got great locks.
Yeah. He's got longer hair than she does at this point.
Since this list is clearly bullshit, I thought, why not have two Jews and a gay list off their hot list? Audience, prepare for controversy and head-scratching selections. All right, boys, let's start off with our number three. For me, it's Carrie Underwood.
All right.
Interesting.
You know, she's got that tan and that blonde hair. Ooh.
Tony Romo's ex?
Yeah.
You want Jesus to take the wheel?
Will she sing you a song? in bed.
Will she sing you a song naked? Or more importantly, not make you wait up till like 2 in the morning while she's singing before you actually have sex?
But, you know, we talked about this at the beginning of the podcast. We talked about how Jeremy really wants a comedian girl to, if he was dating one, to, you know, make a joke mm-hmm. referencing him. That would be an ultimate thing. Would a girl writing a song about you, i.e. David Coulet, would that be your dream too, Jeremy? Would that, what would be more
on
valuable
cloud
to
nine,
you?
On cloud nine.
Song is more important than a comedy skit?
Yeah.
If it's recorded and released, absolutely.
I mean, come on now.
I mean, think of it, if it's like a number one hit song, if it makes the top of the Billboard charts.
But let's
Jeremy Katz is an asshole.
But Spencer, I mean, that's, her body, though. Ooh. I mean, she's got that tight little body.
I'm going to have to go check her out again. Thank you.
All right.
Spencer, you're number three?
This one has been a favorite of mine for a decade, but keep in mind I said the word decade, so I mean...
Please.
You can't,
she's old.
You can't compete with Mother Nature.
Elizabeth
Shue. You know, no. Long gone. Come on. But she's still phenomenal even at her age. She's very sexy.
Linda Carter.
It is Kate Beckinsale.
Oh, man. She is... Woo. She
I mean,
gets
that's hard
better
to disagree with.
As she gets older. Like, she hasn't aged a day, I don't think.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, she looks great on screen. I just know, you know, if I married her in real life or dated her, she'd start telling me, you know, she's... You know, she starts saying how she's wrinkling. She keeps asking me, like,
oh, yeah.
Do I look
oh, for
beautiful
sure.
young still? And I'd be like, shut up. You're ruining the moment.
Well, she
yes,
also
you
seems like a bitch, Spencer. Like, does that play? Do you like that? Because, like, she just seems like just a huge
you think
fucking
she
bitch.
That.
She just seems that way.
I don't think so. I think she's just like. I could see over the years maybe she became, like, because she's married to a director.
Mm-hmm.
So I could just see her, like, the director, like, you know, maybe hiring, like, younger actresses for parts that she normally would have gotten. And I could see her getting pissed about that. But I bet when she came onto the scene, like when she was in Underworld that first time, oh my goodness. Oh my, oh my.
Oh my, my, my. All right, Brian, you're up.
Number three for me, Ryan Gosling.
Good looking guy.
How is he your number three?
Guy. I mean, how is he number three?
I can't wait to hear the first two.
I still think Joel
even
McHale.
For a straight male like me, I'd say he's.
Brian, I still think Joel McHale is going to be on your list.
Joel McHale is not making my list.
That's an Adam Warshaw reference right there.
There you go. All right, let's move on to number two. I'll go first. And Spencer, you know, we're trying to pick people that everyone knows. I don't think you're going to know who this is. Brian will obviously know.
Hit
Our
me with it.
Our audience will know. Number two is Game of Thrones' Emilia Clarke.
I'm going to step out of this one, boys. Have a good time.
Here's a question. Do you want the blonde or the
See,
brunette?
That's the issue why she's not my number one is because I think I want the blonde.
What? Why? So, if why does that not catapult her?
Because
to the
at the
spot,
end of the day,
then?
I would. I'm more attracted to her for not her look. You know, like in life, she is still smoking. And the thing about her though is she's not hot. She is like as cute as you can be. So I'm almost in the fact that she's in these sex scenes and like the character she plays in the film. And
well,
she's
and you've
small.
Seen her tits. I mean, that's half
Spencer,
the battle right
she's
there.
She's busty, and you love busty.
Can you give me her name again? I'm going to type it in IMDb, please.
Emilia Clarke.
How do you spell Emilia?
Jesus Christ, your internet's slow. Yeah,
so her blonde hair is what she's on the show, but most of these are like.
Oh, okay.
Ready? I hear she dyes her.
Don't look at the one where she's like without makeup. I mean, that's not it.
That's the first one I looked at. That's the first one I looked at.
I know. All right.
Well, so I just looked her up, and I'm kind of torn right now because I've seen about 500 pictures of her, and some are freaking gorgeous as a brunette, and then some are not so great as a brunette. So I'm kind of torn, but I could see it. I could definitely see the appeal. She seems very slender, which I think is up Jeremy's alley, but I don't know. I don't know if
well, and I think
she's
a classic case of,
honest.
You know, me being the reason I'm into her as much as I am is because of her character on the show. So like Kate Beckinsale is a natural beauty. She's better looking than this girl, but the fact that like I am connected to her character, you know, obviously catapults her for me.
All right, my number 2, and this one, you know, wasn't even on my radar probably 5 years ago, but I've started seeing her in some supporting roles of late and she's just starting to. There's something I'm just curious about. It is Emily Blunt.
Interesting. Yeah. All right. You know, to me, she's very cute. I don't know if I find her sexy, but she is
cute.
Have
you seen like the 5-year engagement?
Yeah, she's cute.
She's just got something where she's like sexy smart. Sexy smart usually does it for me, and she's something very intriguing about her.
Plus, you know, she gets engaged to kind of a schlub in that, so it kind of gives you hope.
Exactly. I don't know. She just has it. She got it working on. Even in the Adjustment Bureau, she's like, when she's running at the very beginning of the movie, she's sexy, and her eyes are pretty cute, too.
All right, Brian, you're up.
I just saw this movie this past weekend, The New Man of Steel, Henry Cavill. He does it for me every day of the week and twice on Sundays. That body, like the fact that that was his body that naturally fit into that suit. I'm not normally a guy who goes for a huge beefcake, but I will absolutely make an exception for Henry Cavill. He can throw me around a room whenever he likes.
Yeah, dude, he's a big fucking guy.
What else has he been in, by the way?
He was in The Tudors. He was in The Immortals.
The Immortals? Small movies.
He was evidently a runner-up to get Bond.
Now, Brian, let me ask you this. Henry Cavill as Superman or Chris Hemsworth as Thor?
Oh, Henry Cavill, hands down.
Not even close.
Not even close.
All right.
What about Liam Hemsworth? Yeah.
Which Hemsworth?
Liam.
Which Hemsworth?
No, he broke up, so I didn't hear the first
Liam, thing. The little brother.
Oh, isn't... Who's he broken up with now?
Miley Cyrus.
Oh. Oh, at least she did well for herself for a while.
All right, guys. This is it. This is big. The number one. My number one pick is Kerry Washington.
Really?
She is...
Once again, Jeremy, you had sex with one black girl and... This has got to stop, all right? We get it, all right? You slept with one black girl. You're so much better than me. And now she's your... Now that's your top choice? You got to be kidding me. I'm out, Jeremy.
Are you kidding?
Brian, I'm out. I'm walking out again.
Again? You're out?
Well, what happens if she gets ashy, though?
But her skin is just, like, perfect. I mean, well, Spencer, you're not
so,
a Spencer,
so
you don't find her
seen
hot.
On TV and in print media, which has been airbrushed within an inch of its life, possibly.
Jeremy, she is beautiful, but here's the thing about
her. She is beautiful.
Here's the thing about her. I fell in love with her 10 years ago when she was on Boston Public. She was a teacher on that show. What?
I forgot about that, yeah.
But here's the thing. If you look at pictures back then, she did not have an eating disorder like she does now, okay? Like, she had some meat on her, and she was incredibly sexy. And it, to me, anytime I see a girl go from, like, a little bit of meat to, like, that anorexic look, it kind of takes me back because I'm like, I know what she once was, you know? So it's hard for me to kind of see her in a different light now. So, I mean, she's definitely sexy, but it's a shame because 10 years ago, wow, out of this world.
All right,
well, here's the thing, though, Jeremy. Like, if you were with her, would you feel inadequate because you've known that there's been so much black dick up her?
Oh, I mean, come on. Naturally, yeah. I wouldn't have sex with her. I would just eat her out.
Oh.
All right, Spencer, you're up.
All right. This one, I mean, I haven't seen her in a lot of stuff, but anytime I see her, she does it for me. She is incredibly sexy. She even had a show on NBC last year that I thought she was actually really funny in. And
Whitney Cummings?
Typical NBC. They did not give the show a chance to develop, but her character was really good. It is
NeNe Leakes.
It is Olivia Munn.
Oh yeah.
Spencer, she's in the newsroom. Good-looking girl. I'm shocked that you're number one. Shocked.
Go type her in. A little voluptuous.
Go type her in and tell me she's not.
No, she's sexy because she has that whole like. I'm like a gamer and I'm kind of a geek and I like comic books.
No, she's hot. I'm telling you. Look her up.
Yeah, she is hot.
I mean, I've jerked off to her. I mean, I've jerked off to all these people, but I'm surprised that she's
Henry Cavill?
Number one. I mean, come on now.
Okay.
Let me ask you that, Brian. Who do you think is more attractive, Kerry Washington or Olivia Munn?
That's tough because you're asking a gay man. I would say. I would probably lean, because if I was going to be straight, I'd probably be a bit more of a tits man, and Olivia Munn brings the goods there.
You do not know women.
I go Olivia Munn.
All right, Brian, who's your number one?
My number one selection is going to be a little Well, unusual but, insofar as
to,
I can't... You...
Brian, not to interrupt you, but Spencer, do you want to take a guess of who's number one is?
Yes, take a guess.
So far we've had Ryan Gosling, Henry Cavill. Is it someone I would even know? Let me just ask that first off. Like,
yes.
It's not sci-fi related?
Absolutely someone that you would know.
Okay.
Sci-fi related.
Maybe it is sci-fi related. I don't know. I'm just going to say Chris Pine. It's not right, but I'm just going to say Chris Pine.
Jeremy, do you care to guess?
I am going to say you like somebody funny and you like somebody... Joel McHale.
No.
Damn it.
My number one guy, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Wow.
Again, I'm flattered, Brian. I really am, but come on, man. You got to stop this infatuation
there's kind of a dorky sexiness
Jeremy,
to him.
I can't... It's becoming sexual... it's becoming a little bit too much.
Brian,
right now.
They both got the squinty eyes. I mean, come on. It's very flattering.
But the problem is Joseph Gordon-Levitt is so much better looking than Spencer.
We look the same.
No, he doesn't look like
everyone
he,
says
you know...
I look like him, and vice versa.
Well, everyone, after he's put on 10 pounds, I mean, like...
Again with this 10 pounds thing, I'm in incredible shape.
I know.
Every time I see you, you seem very doughy.
You see me twice. Every time I see you, I go, where's Waldo? I just found him.
Brian, you and Spencer have something in common, because I'm pretty sure Spencer has a man crush on Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
I do.
Would you let him sleep with you, Spencer?
Absolutely. And then we would sit in bed and talk about it. I can't believe Brian's in love with us.
All right,
and
boys.
I would be there filleting Joseph Gordon-Levitt while you guys talk.
All right, guys. Well, I appreciate the list. Very controversial, as we all assumed. And audience, you know, please give us your feedback and let us know what you think of Olivia Munn. Okay, next
crazy.
Headline.
You are crazy, by the way.
I know, Spencer. I went through a little phase where I was all about her. Like when she was on like any magazine cover, like oh my, and like she's kind of dirty and like funny, but I'm just surprised you're number one.
She's got a little Asian to her too, if you notice, like Spencer.
So do you.
Exactly, like Spencer. Not Asian, right, though.
Guys,
I take it back. Pacific Islands. Not Asian. Pacific Islands.
Since that was a longer segment, I am going to go to our final headline. And, you know, in the wacky world of TV, sometimes when a show gets canceled, another channel will pick up that show. Recently, ABC announced they were canceling the low-rating Spencer Yasbin favorite, Happy Endings.
Go to hell!
Fans of the show held hope, though, when USA expressed interest to pick up the newly canceled show. Well, unfortunately, USA has announced they will not be picking up Happy Endings. Ugh. There are reports, though, that NBC and TBS may be interested. Spencer, make a plea to the heads of the other networks on why they should pick up Happy Endings.
Thank you. I will. Okay, NBC, you have decided in the past couple years to go with Chelsea Handler and Whitney Cummings as your go-to saviors of must-see TV. Okay, both failed miserably. Not surprised about either. Happy Endings is a smart, innovative comedy. It is a much better version of what Friends, one of your greatest shows of all time from a ratings perspective. It is what I consider Friends meets Scrubs concept. Very witty, but really good chemistry between the six actors. I think it is shocking. It's not shocking that ABC canceled it, because ABC... is notorious for canceling great shows like What About Brian, and I can't believe you guys.
No, no one saw that show, Spencer. He loves this show.
What About Brian?
It sounds like the dumbest show.
I know. But it is a great show. But anyway, ABC is notorious for canceling shows before they get off the ground running, and also giving shows that have no business to even to see the light, like Living with Your Parents for the Rest of Your Life. Like, why would that title alone should not make a show? So. To NBC, I say it would be wise to give a show like this at least in 6-episode run, and you'd be surprised how well it would do. And TBS, how's that Breckenmeyer show doing for you? Okay, come on, Men at Work, please. The Wedding Band. Enough said.
I'm sold. I would green light it right now. All right, boys, that's Dirty Talk Hollywood.
Thank you, Jeremy. Well, it is time to wrap up the episode. It's been enjoyable as always. Spencer, I certainly hope you grow a pair of balls and tell your parents what you want for a change.
I hope so.
Jeremy, I hope you please your comedian potential lover and that you get really good rave reviews at her next act.
I hope I do.
But I doubt you will. Oh, and Spencer, God. I doubt you will either.
Oh, correct.
So, for the ballless Spencer Yasmin and the sexually inept Jeremy Katz, I am Brian Martinson, and we will catch you next time.